Sándor Moroi was born in a place called Kassa in the Austro-Hungarian Empire in 1900. A prolific novelist, by the 1930s, he'd become one of Hungary's greatest writers. But after World War II, with the Soviet occupation of Hungary, Moroi was banned and left his homeland. Eventually, he came to America and lived a life of obscurity. Now one of Moroi's novels, Embers, has been translated into English and become an international bestseller. It's a haunting masterpiece about two old men, an aristocrat and a former soldier, reunited after a 41-year-long chasm in their relationship. But perhaps the biggest mystery is about Sándor Moroi's vanished literary presence. Critics have compared him to Kafka and Thomas Mann, yet Moroi's work seemed to all but disappear. Carol Brown Janeway has translated Embers from German and French versions of the Hungarian original published in 1942. Janeway says Moroi slipped from prominence largely because of the times in which he lived.
There was, of course, this complete interruption in international literary traffic during World War II itself. And when things eased and publication of books could really begin again after paper shortages in the Western countries after the war, Hungary had really become locked off. There were refugees like Moroi himself who made it out to Switzerland and to Paris, but unfortunately it was to semi-obscurity. This book and two others were originally translated and published in Paris by a small publisher in 1952, but it appears to very, very little response, and word of their appearance didn't travel any further.
Let's talk about Embers. It's the story of a once unbreakable friendship that has been shattered by a terrible secret. The language is pitch perfect, just exquisite. Would you read a paragraph?
Yes, of course. This comes from quite early in the novel, and it is a description, in fact, of the hero, the aristocrat's parents, at the very beginning of their marriage, when the mother, who is French, has arrived in Hungary, way out on the Hungarian plain at the foot of the Carpathian Mountains, to the castle where she's going to live her married life. And she's in what we would now describe as culture shock. It is clear that her relationship with her husband is one of passionate love, but also very, very great differences. At first, the castle was a comfort to her. It was so large, and the forest and the mountains wrapped themselves around it to isolate it so completely from the plain, that it seemed to her to be a home within a new and foreign homeland. And every month a wagon from Paris or from Vienna would arrive bringing furniture, linens, damasks, engravings, even a spinet, because she wished to tame the wild beasts with music. The first snow was already on the mountains as they finally settled in and began to live their lives there. It surrounded the castle and laid siege to it like a grim northern army. At night, deer and stags slipped out of the forest to stand motionless under the moonlight in the snow, heads cocked as they observed the lighted windows with their grave animal eyes that gave back a mysterious blue glow, and the music escaping from the castle reached their ears. "Do you see them?" said the young woman as she sat at the keyboard and laughed. In February, the cold drove the wolves down out of the mountains. The servants and the huntsmen built a bonfire of brushwood in the park, and the wolves under its spell circled it and howled. The officer of the guards drew a knife and went after them. His wife watched from the window. There was something insurmountable between them, but they loved each other.
This is a novel which takes place over the course of seven decades, and it builds slowly somehow. It has a real spell of enchantment. One wonders, do you think that Sándor Moroi, in any sense, meant it to be a metaphor for what happened to the Austro-Hungarian Empire?
That would have to be true, but it's only one layer in an immensely complex book. He's, of course, looking at the forces that would eventually pull apart the empire. He is really paying a last tribute here to the old aristocratic military class whose traditions were of honor and silence and loyalty unto death. It was a culture that valued male friendship, in fact, more than it valued relations between men and women. And that is one of the wonderful things in this book. It is a novel profoundly about friendship as much as it is a novel about passion. And the other thing, of course, which is going on is the whole tension as the world pulls away from those values and a society that operated by them, and the forces of modernity, of democracy, of different kinds of cultural and imaginative freedoms threaten to burst all the bonds of control. And this is showing you what's going to pull it apart.
What happened to Chandramorai after he left Hungary?
Well, the trail is slightly confused. He managed to get out because he had an invitation to a conference in Switzerland. And amazingly, he was given permission to go. And he got out with his wife and their adopted son. We know he spent some time in Paris. We know he came to America. Very, very sadly, his adopted son was the first to die. Then his wife died, and he was left at the end completely alone. And he was living isolated in San Diego. And we know from his diaries, he kept copious and brilliant diaries, that at the age of 89, he bought a gun and taught himself to use it and finally committed suicide in San Diego in March of 1989. And of course, the tragedy was that the wall fell in Berlin only those few months later, and he was within half a year of seeing the liberation of the world that he'd had to give up.
How has Hungary treated Moroi now that these works have come to light and had a wider international circulation?
Well, they have been reprinted in Hungary, of course, with the escape from the Soviet bloc, and he is enormously admired. To date, we know of 23 novels that Moroi wrote. There may possibly be more, because just as Dickens did, he had the habit of writing novels in installments for émigré magazines and newspapers. And so we're tracking some of those just by coming up with a back issue here and a back issue there and then going on the hunt. There are also collections of essays. There are wonderful diaries. So there are enormous riches there just waiting for us to get to them.
Carol Janeway, thanks very much for speaking with us.
It was a pleasure.
Carol Brown Janeway is an editor and translator at Knopf. The book is called Embers by Sándor Moroi.